Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is loneliness.
You haven't talked about how I say the intro in a minute.
Oh, it's lukewarm. Sorry, it's been room temperature, not jarring in any way. It's been the Goldie Bear, the
perfect porridge.
It's been the Goldilocks.
Well, that's a nicer way to say it. Lukewarm.
But I just meant like it flows fine. It wasn't too hot, too cold, nothing.
Just right. No notes. Okay, I love that.
You'll know when I have notes.
Oh, I know I will.
You hear the notes. I bring the notes too. I'm not noting down.
I like how you also give me the notes during the podcast. So all the listeners get. It's an interactive experience.
Exactly. We're all about being honest and open here.
You're in the production room with us, really.
Exactly.
And if you are on Patreon, you get to see it all on video.
Yeah.
I will say that we get comments all the time on TikTok. People being like, okay, I love this podcast and this came up on my For You page and I listen all the time, but seeing you guys on video is like a next level experience because I feel like people don't realize how much we emote.
Yeah, we're
and like I'm such a hand talker and I would say
I give eyes. I give a lot of like a gape mouth.
Yeah.
I'm gagged a lot. I don't move my like forehead or eyebrows because I cannot anymore thanks to my doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Jolene, for the video content.
And this episode is brought to
by Botox. So yeah, if you want all the episodes on video, then head to at I Can Explain Podcast on Instagram, click the link in the bio, and there is the Patreon right there, and then you can watch us on video.
Absolutely.
Love that. Also, wherever you're listening, make sure to follow, subscribe. Follow us, too, at Sean.Lusk and at Brian Williamson. And there's other excited stuff for the podcast on the Patreon. There's the Discord where, spoiler alert or past spoiler alert, I'm in the future now. And I'm thinking that since last episode, people have probably come for me about the Swiftie.
You gotta let it happen naturally.
I'm time leaping.
You're getting ahead of
it. I'm time leaping. Okay. We'll see. We'll follow up.
Are you spiraling?
Yeah. I have to kick this episode off by begging you to
give me your fucking money.
Yeah, literally try help me support my next film. I'm fundraising for it right now.
Are we far enough in the future that it's done though?
No, I think it's still happening.
Okay.
Because I think I fundraised till December 10th.
Oh, this, yeah. Well,
I think there's 37 days left.
Okay.
So I think we're still there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're definitely still there. Yeah. Duh. Anyways, this is a corny thing to say. I said this last time, but every fucking dollar helps. And I fucking need you to give me money.
It's better what you said, though, because people say every penny counts. And that, I would say, is a little stretch.
That's a stretch. I don't want a penny.
Yeah, no.
You know, pennies are expired in Canada.
Expired.
They don't count. They're just like, fuck off with your pennies.
Yeah, I had a dream about pennies
the
other night.
Did
you? Yeah. Somebody literally gave me like a handful of pennies.
Whoa.
And I was so confused.
Wait, I've got to look this up because I love dream stuff like that.
Do you think it's specifically about pennies or coins in general?
I feel like dream someone gave me coins might do it.
Dream loose handful of coins.
Oh, pornhub.com. Perfect. Okay. While coins are worth less than paper money, dreaming of someone giving you coins indicates that you will soon be coming into a significant amount of money. It can also symbolize good luck.
Wow, slay. Thank you for giving me those pennies then, whoever did that.
Okay, and also, this may depend on the specific person giving you the money. Do you recognize them? Okay. One possible meaning is you feel that this person wants to support you in your endeavors. If you dream of a stranger giving you money or someone that you do not know, it could mean that you're open to receiving rewards in unlikely places and that you're open to new possibilities. Are you open to that?
Receiving rewards.
That's so brave of you.
I'm honestly open to receiving money from anywhere.
From
anyone. at any time.
That's amazing.
It's something I've been working on.
And that's so funny. It's like, why do they think that you need to hear that? It's amazing. You're open to rewards and any opportunity reward, and money from whenever, anyone.
Wherever.
You're like, holy shit, I must have turned over a new leaf.
I'm like, oh, that was a big one for
I've
me.
Always been closed off to that.
The rewards.
I've always personally been open to that, which is why I'm saying, give me your money for my film.
Yeah.
Jokes aside.
Because you didn't have that dream.
To make this film. I did not get this fucking dream. Mm-hmm. We're fundraising. There's lots of cool rewards. My personal favorite reward is the $25 tier for the virtual premiere. Because like I said, when the film's finished in a few months, if it gets made, if it gets funded, then we're going to do the virtual premiere. Or if you're local to Vancouver, there's local Vancouver premiere tickets as well. And then it won't be available publicly on YouTube for like 6 months to a year after that. So if you want to see it right away,
get in there, folks.
Get in there. Really appreciate you. Love you so much. And if you can't donate, I get it.
Maybe.
But I appreciate if you do.
I woke up too early and I was getting coins in my hand. And then you had a gun to my head.
I was
stealing your
coins.
Dumping them into yours.
That seems more reasonable.
Logical.
Yeah, yeah, that does. That does seem more reasonable. Five stars only. Loneliness.
Loneliness.
Are you feeling lonely?
I don't know. I think I am feeling lonely.
Oh.
But I think there's a lot of loneliness going on right now. Mm-hmm. I think, in just like a lot of aspects of my life.
Okay.
I would say.
Okay.
The most glaringly obvious is that I'm single, which I think is loneliness in its own sense.
Yeah.
But I think this time feels different being single.
Okay.
Because of how aggressively unsingle everybody else in my life is.
Right.
Besides maybe, I know two single people and they're both gay men, which, let's spot a pattern here.
All the gay men.
Do I know any single lesbians?
No.
Sure don't.
That's true, because I do feel like the last few single stragglers on the women loving women side.
Oh, I do know a
Holy
single lesbian.
Shit.
Sorry.
Oh,
I do know one. Mary.
Oh, yeah, that's also sad.
And somebody should go fucking marry Mary, because
Mary's
she's
the
great.
Best.
I literally
honestly,
love her.
Whoever gets to marry Mary is so lucky.
Like, the fact that Mary is single right now is a travesty.
I'm going to be bold and brave and say I'm in love with Mary.
No, I agree. Should I marry Mary?
It's not a bad idea.
There's just something about her.
There's something. You know what's so sad? I didn't get that joke enough that I was about to make the joke.
Yeah.
I was like, there's something about Mary, thinking that I was making the fucking joke.
I'm always
joke
a step ahead of you.
Right over my fucking head. Yeah, so you're single.
So I'm single. This happened previously that I was single. I'm rarely single.
Yeah, you are a serial dater.
This, I would say, honestly, is the longest I've been single.
Probably, yeah.
Genuinely, yeah. Besides like childhood.
Usually
and,
you go
like,
through a breakup and then like 2 months later you got a thing going on.
Yeah, post-gay, this is the longest I've been single.
Oh, yeah.
Post-gay.
Totally, for sure.
Pre-gay, confusing.
How long has
times.
It been since you've been single now?
Oh, God. It was February.
March. Whoa, that long ago?
Yeah.
There is no way.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Time is also rapidly losing.
Okay, so February, March.
What? February is two.
April,
and we're at, so
May,
9 months.
June, July, August,
and it was
September.
Like the week of Valentine's Day, so it's been
November.
Exactly 9 months.
Holy
That's
shit.
That's the longest time for me. So
that is long for you, like really long for
I know.
You.
I agree.
Oh my God.
So I've been single for a few months before. Yeah. And the last time, funnily enough, that I can think of it, I, in that single period, went to a wedding venue with two of my friends that were getting married.
Yes.
And that made me feel incredibly single.
And weddings always do that.
The same thing happened, that I happened to be single at another good friend's wedding, and I felt incredibly single.
Yeah.
It's just really weird being single in this this like part of life.
Yes.
That everybody seems to be getting married, settling down, having kids, trying to have kids in some weird like science experiment. For all the it's like a volcano or yeah. something.
I was told I have to sit on top of a volcano and hope
yeah.
for the best.
Yeah, I think that's how it happens. Yeah. A stork might come down or something.
Oh my god,
a stork
wish.
Comes out of the volcano.
Right up my pussy. I'll take it, honestly.
Probably cheaper than way any other cheaper. Way.
I'm getting paid for that.
I don't think you have to pay $30,000 for the stork of the volcano.
No.
But yeah, I just like feel like there's been a lot of things mm-hmm. that are telling me to be lonely. But I'm not really sad about my loneliness, which I think is an important part of this.
Yeah. See, here's my thing. Like, maybe I'm not a good enough friend in the sense of I feel like I've always chalked you up to be this like wildly independent person, despite always being a relationship person.
Right.
I feel like you're kind of a walking contradiction in a way. And I don't mean that in a shady way.
Okay.
In the sense that anyone else in my life that I've ever known that is a relationship person.
Yeah.
That is like right out of a relationship into the next, always seems to have a thing going on.
Drag me.
Etc. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a bit of a drag. They also tend to have certain traits where, you know, maybe they're mildly codependent. Maybe they like, you know, U-Haul it quick.
Yeah.
They like really mesh their lives. They don't hang out separately. They don't. It's like right in, you know, all the way in. And I feel like because you are the type of person that despite always being dating and having someone, you always keep them far enough
right.
that it doesn't, I don't equate you as that person in my mind until I think about it. Until I'm like, oh, right. He's always had someone. And so much so, I was talking to my girlfriend the other day about this.
Oh, great.
And I said to her, I was telling her about one of your dates or something. I think this is like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And like, I'm really proud of Sean because I feel like he is being like picky and choosy in a way that I feel like he hasn't been in the past. And I feel like he deserves all those things.
Yeah.
And she was like, I think I said something along the lines of, cause he's always one of those people that is just like, this person's good. This person's a good person. And I like them enough that like, let's just dive in. He's a very big relationship person. And Julia's like, what are you talking about? Like, Sean's never in a relationship. And I was like, no, ever since we've known Sean, he's been in a relationship and there's been multiple of them. She's like, no, he's only had like one boyfriend. So she literally like couldn't grasp it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. And I started listening and she was like, holy fuck. She was like, you're right. Yeah. And it's so weird because I think people like,
when the lineup comes out.
Yeah. And I think people like forget about it almost because you are independent.
Yeah.
You don't live with those people. Which is fine, but you also like, you have your routine. You're very like routine oriented.
Yes.
You go to work, you go to the gym, you do your, after you get home from work, you do your gaming, you do your make your dinner, you do your laundry, all those things.
You do the make your dinner.
Yeah. They seem so separate from a partner.
Yeah.
That I,
oh, I'm sure that's part of the issue. I'm sure my therapist would really tie that
I just
together.
Never, like, I think that maybe because of that, and you can tell me, like, am I not checking in on you enough as a single person? Like, am I not being a good friend?
I'll follow up on that. I would say recently the things that have made me feel the most single are, and this is kind of a drag to our friends.
Yeah.
Which, wish them all the best. Glad you're happy. I would say you're the least part of it.
Yeah.
And what has made me feel the loneliest recently, which once again, I'm not sad about my loneliness currently.
No.
So
you're just aware.
I'm just aware of it.
Yeah.
It makes me think like, oh, I'm like not with somebody or, oh, I'm not this.
Yeah.
Is we've been out recently at clubs or something. Yeah. And everybody fucking leaves partnered up because they're going to go spend the night with the one they truly cherish and love.
Yes.
And that has made me feel lonely.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm not like, I don't have importance in some people's lives in a weird way.
I totally get
that. Not like I think they like hate me or anything.
No, it's not. It's never with malicious intent.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are certain friends that you become very aware that they're the types of people that when they get in a relationship.
Yes.
They are going to be a different friend to you.
Which I think is probably more shocking to me because I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
See, that's a good point. Everything I just said, like, I don't feel like you adjust.
Yes.
So probably
in a bad way too.
I mean, I don't know if I'd call it a bad
way.
Yeah, you just like your own independence and stuff like that. I do too.
Yeah.
But I think that, because of that, I don't notice the shift. Like some friends, it's like, oh, they got out of a relationship, so now they're going to want to go out with me. Now yeah. they're going to want to hang out. They're going to want to go dancing. They're going to want to, you know, have solo dinners, just me and them, all these things. And then they get in a relationship and that's kind of like gone.
Yeah.
Right. Which I think, I'll put it on record, is wildly unhealthy. I think if you don't continue to make solo time with your friends without your partner, if you assume it's always a couple's thing, I don't personally think that's a healthy way of being. And I think I show that. Like, for I feel sure. like I'm very, like, I'm equally as obsessed with my relationship as I am aware that I need my own time and friend time.
Agreed.
And also want to still, like, party and go out with friends and do all the things that I would maybe do when I was single.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're similar in the sense that, like, you don't adjust. Mm-hmm. So I don't, like, notice. I'm not like, oh, I wonder how Sean's doing, because I'm like, to me externally the routine seems the same.
It is the same. Yeah. Once again, for better or for worse.
So yeah, I don't know, I just feel like, I feel like also holidays are accentuated, because right. even the most boring relationship fuckers, like the most boring of the bottom of the barrel, in the summer at least want to do some like group camping or some shit.
Totally.
You know, then winter hits and they like all like hide into their fucking little caves.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is, I could see it being hard being single during the holiday season, because there's so many things that just like call for like coupleness.
Everything calls yeah. for coupleness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like really annoying.
Yeah. I mean, holidays have never been like that big for me, because holidays are so family focused mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
But I do agree. I think for a lot of people that is really hard.
I have a tip for people that might be listening that are feeling that way, whether you're listening. In a relationship or out of a relationship. For example, during the holiday season, me and our mutual friend Carson painted pumpkins. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was funny because we were kind of like laughing at ourselves that we were doing like a very datey, coupley thing.
Right.
Just the two of us. Like, it wasn't a group activity. And we like, I like got a bottle of wine and I did the charcuterie thing and we painted these pumpkins. And I think it was when you were in LA with your better friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways.
Breathe.
Still hard for me to think decompress. About. But yeah. And when he left, I just thought, that was so nice. Like, it's such a good reminder to date your friends, and in a platonic way. Yeah. Like, I don't mean that in a weird way. I mean, like, take the time, regardless how long you've been in a relationship, to not just do, like, group things all the time, always with your partner. Every fucking couple has been there. And I think this is something that we've touched on before that is a trap for queer people in general, because they don't have the outs of like, it's girls' night. Yep. It's guys' night. It's a boys' trip. It's a girls' trip. It's the one time I think that the gender binary, the fucks non-existent gender binary, but the perception of one
yep.
actually helps relationships.
True.
Because people get like a guilt-free in their mind time without their partner. Without any
like weird layers to it.
Yeah, or, without any like, yeah. oh, I'm not invited to this one, or like, oh, I would have liked to go with that. My girlfriend called me.
She's so annoying.
So clean.
Literally.
Oh my God. This is my independent time.
Thank God I'm alone.
That I think like people need to remember that when you're in a queer, it's such a dream to have a queer group. Like a queer community,
yeah.
right? And when you have it, like, you want to always be around everyone. You want to include everyone in that, because we don't go by like some made up gender binary, and because we're not like dealing with the social constructs. It's just like, everyone's welcome, and like, we're all here, and like, my partner's my bestie, so like, I'm going to bring them to everything, and we never go anywhere without each other. And the unfortunate part of that is that you don't actually get like deep moments friend to friend.
Yeah.
Which is one thing I miss about the more heterosexual structure of relationships. Like, I kind of miss that. Like, I remember being in high school or even early college, and it would be like me and like a few of my, I can't say girlfriends, makes me sound like one of those old women that say girlfriends.
Yeah.
one of my, like a few of my friends that were girls.
Yes.
And their boyfriends would be going to the same party, but we would have our own separate pre-drink and like get ready and listen to music, and it would be just a fun connection time.
Right.
And
well, then you were trying to fuck all of them.
But I was also actually actively fucking all of them, but...
But it was fun.
It was a great connection time. And it just like, I don't know, it just... I guess I just fucking wait for this stupid thing. It just made... Like, when I think back to those moments, I'm like, I kind of miss that sometimes. Yeah. Like, I miss those moments where it's like, you obviously love your friends' partners. And in a lot of cases, you're friends with both the partners, both halves. But it's really nice and refreshing when you also get the separate time.
Yeah.
Like, something I love so much about our podcast is we just get to talk to each other. And before and after... The fucking garage band is rolling. Our high level audio engineering equipment is rolling. The
hundreds of thousands of audio equipment are kicked into action. Yeah.
We get like solo time to like catch up and like talk about stuff. And I love that. And then when I had this like friend date with Carson and we were doing something that was like stereotypically very like datey that you might not usually do with a friend, it was such like a cute little thing.
Totally.
And I think whether you're in a relationship or single, making time to like nourish your friendships and date your friends in a way is really important.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think people do that enough.
Do you want to date me?
Yes.
Do you want to date me?
I tried to go to the pig party and here we are. Also, we have to release the news. You didn't go to the pig party.
Yeah, I don't think that's news to anybody that listens.
It was news to me.
Well,
it's news to me. I thought we were going to have insider pig info. All I wanted was a pig count. I wasn't asking for anyone's personal information.
You wanted a pink to pig ratio. Comparison.
Yeah. I just wanted you to go around with like an old school clipboard, not invading any privacy. One of those, just a clicker, like a door clicker.
Entering clicker.
No, I'm going to move it back. No, I want the clipboard. Each hand.
One is pink, one is pig.
No, I do like the clipboard because I want it to be like a tally.
You want a tally.
I like the moment of you walking around. Like totally like just normally dressed in like a flannel and jeans. Everyone else is in BDSM gear and you just have a clipboard and no one knows what tally it is that you're doing, but you're just tallying.
And I'm tapping people and then they turn around and I said, okay, I was just checking for a snout. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
I saw your pink behind.
Yes.
And I needed to see if there was a snout attached.
Where do you draw the line at pink or pig? Snout, curly tail?
I would say if they have any of the pig components,
ears.
I would say even just ears, you are still a pig.
You're still on the clipboard.
If you just if you're wearing all pink, but you have a little curly tail, that's a pig. That's a pig, baby.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some of these parties, that might be the only angle people are seeing. So
exactly. Or the rest got fucking rocked off of them already.
I am upset that you didn't go.
You knew I wasn't going to go.
I had a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, because there was a glimmer. I knew you weren't going to go on the last episode we filmed about it.
Yeah.
But the week before, I thought it was enough time for you to schedule it up in your mind.
You know what is funny?
What?
I, on a dating app, talked to somebody whose friends went. So maybe I should follow up.
And ask how many pigs there were.
Hey, could you ask your friends what the pig ratio was?
Estimate on pigs.
Estimate what were the three houses made of? Because we're assuming that they're just the traditional materials.
Brick. What's
but
the
one could have just been like cum.
Not the cum house. Not the cum house. Jesus. That's where I fucking draw the line. I'm about to kink shame up in here.
Hard to blow down because it's already just a puddle.
Oh, no. I was picturing like stiff, like jerk off rags compiled into a home.
Like the.
Which I do think would be a good building material. Very sturdy.
Cum blanket.
Yeah.
You could snap one in half.
Literally.
Like bridesmaids. You know what else has made me lonely recently? Cum rags.
Yeah. You just look into the cum rag afterwards and you're like, this is getting
to peel another one off.
Kind of sad.
I realize that I'm in a home made of cum rags, and I think maybe it's a little much.
Yeah. Time to get on the apps again.
Hey, Gabers. This episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch, and honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
One thing recently, mm-hmm. which I don't know how to approach this without making me seem like a jealous piece of shit, but okay. I honestly mean it in the most loving way possible.
Okay.
Something that has made me feel lonely, though, is my ex.
Oh, yeah. This is the tea. I was wondering if you were going to expose this.
Has a new partner.
Wow.
Which I've gathered because mm-hmm. I still follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I genuinely, mm-hmm. this might sound fake, but I genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, am like, happy for him.
Yeah,
like I actually am. Mm-hmm. But it is, even being happy, it's still a mind fuck.
Oh, 1,000. I think that I think you would be lying.
Yeah,
regardless of how a breakup happens, who initiates, who doesn't, if it's, you know, if you're, if it's good vibes or not, that yeah. doesn't really matter. I think the first time you see your ex with someone, you're like, oh, you'd be lying if you just scrolled past that story. You don't take note.
Exactly.
Like, of
yeah.
course, you're like, oh, that's who they're dating now. That's who they went for next. Interesting. Wonder how long that's been going on. It's natural human curiosity.
Thank you.
And I think especially since you're single. Well, it's true, right?
Yeah, no, totally.
Because you're like, oh, okay. Like,
I think if you're both in a relationship again, yeah. it's easier. It's even easier to be like, good for you.
I agree.
Still a good for him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it is like, interesting. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah. It's hard not to immediately, even though you know it's irrational, draw on that comparison.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
I think that's so normal. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
You.
This is your fucking tail, dude.
That was.
This is your pigtail.
I was like, it's not curly though. What were you going to say?
Tail. I was just going to say that it's interesting because I think that something that didn't happen during the panorama mm-hmm. was running into exes,
right?
Because obviously you are very selective on who you were surrounding yourself with, if anyone at all.
So it probably wouldn't be an ex.
So it's not going to be an ex,
yeah.
right? Like, it's like, we literally, for like 2 years straight, and some months on either side of like wishy-washy up and down,
yeah.
we're literally like on selective Zooms with friends, or where we live, like, you're allowed to have 6 people over to your house. Like, I was thinking about that, because Halloween just passed.
I couldn't have even got all my exes to come over if I wanted to. 6?
Too big of a
That's
bubble.
Like half of them.
That's what I'm saying. You'd have to be so picky and choosy.
Exactly.
On who you include. They draw straws. The
men. Who's coming in the cum house?
Oh, not the cum house. I need that to. That can't be part of the lore. The cum house can't. It can't carry on. It can't.
It's carried on.
I will say, if someone makes a meme of a cum house, I might post it just with no description. Just like some towels stuck together in
me
a house shape, and anyone who listens
in
will
the middle
understand.
Of a cum house.
Yeah, Sean's just sitting in the middle, like just an extra towel in his hand, ready to add to his,
ready to spackle a wall.
Fuck! Okay, can you stop playing fucking footsie with my mic?
Sorry, I was feeling flirty
ever since I wanted to date you. Yeah. Yeah. So that didn't happen because. I was thinking back to Halloween. I was saying,
yeah,
we literally went so far as a friend group that there was more than 6 of us, that we literally had 6 people in one household, 6 people in another, and then zoomed between parties,
zoomed, yeah.
which is so crazy to think about now. Like, what the heck was happening? Anyways,
we're staying safe and doing our part. That's
no,
what
I mean that, but it's just like, no, what universe were we in? Yeah, this I was know. Happening. Like, what? Anyways, you truly, unless you made a very serious point of trying to meet up with someone or hang out with someone because you really genuinely wanted mm-hmm. to or missed them, you were not going to see people.
No.
It just like didn't happen. And even so much so is that when you were out and wearing masks, I feel like people were just trying to like keep their space with people. Yeah. And even if you kind of like saw someone from afar, you kind of knew like no one was going up and saying hi to people. Everyone was keeping their space.
The good old days.
Yeah. Honestly, flawless. And then in the last few months, I have run into, first of all, so many of my exes.
Yeah.
Second of all, so many of my friends' exes.
Yeah.
And it's such a trip because I literally went from like feeling like, I guess I'll genuinely never see that person again. Because people
to being like, oh, I'll see that person every weekend.
And I'm like, is that what's going to happen now? Yeah. Because I literally think that there was like a time frame there where if someone broke up with someone, it genuinely felt like they died.
Yeah.
Because you were just like, there's no chance that I'll run into you or happen to see you. So I guess you're just like gone from the life now. Like that's Bye. How it felt, right? And then now, like I saw your ex just from afar.
Oh yeah.
You just did. From afar.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I was like, is this new?
No, that was old in the summer. And I was like, oh my God, like I just saw your ex. And I just, it was wild to me because I literally in my mind was like, will I ever see this person again? Yeah. And I was like, oh, you still like exist. Yeah. Like, that's so trippy. And then this past weekend, I ran into another of my friend's exes that broke up right before the pandemic.
Literally.
Like right before. Like, I swear the pandemic.
Might have started it.
Might have started it. The yeah. pandemic news was dropped like midnight of the day they broke mm-hmm. up. I swear to God. And because it's been like years, I literally was like, I will never see that person again. That's how it felt. And then I ran into them. It was like seeing a fucking ghost.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you exist still?
They are kind of spooky too. So.
Who, your ex?
No. The other one.
I don't think the other one's spooky. Mm. Okay, wait, my battery's going to die. I need to change it. Pause. I was like, what are we just talking about? And Sean's like, it doesn't matter. I don't know how you're relating it to loneliness anyways.
I was like, and?
Okay.
And you took offense to it because it's real and honest.
It was a little too cut too deep.
Yeah.
A little too real and honest. No, I was just saying like with we were talking about exes. And I think it's a kind of a trippy thing that like the natural human order of running into your ex has been postponed for so many
people.
And
now it's like,
now it's hyper layering up. Yeah. Like now
we have a flare up.
We have a flare.
Yeah. Do they have a cream for that?
We need the cream.
Yeah.
Because I'm literally like, I think they're coming out of the woodwork.
No, they are.
And then one of my other friends recently went through a breakup and we've just recently talked about this. We're like, oh my God, what do we do now? Like everyone knows the same spaces.
What are we doing?
And I feel like I haven't been in the position in a while, both between friends breaking up and it being a time where the world's like open up, that like that's a thought process during it. And to bring it back to loneliness, do you feel like when you run into exes, if you're still single, it like stirs loneliness?
Jesus Christ. Do I think it stirs loneliness for me?
Because you're like, oh, that was like a comfortable thing that like tonight we'd just be going home together and like that was comfortable.
No, it
you're
doesn't
like, thank
stir.
God.
No, it's like somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
I think I mean, I haven't run into somebody in mm-hmm. person, but I would say like my thoughts seeing it from just yeah. like a photo already is that I can like take that situation mm-hmm. and say, we didn't work out for X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
I hope this person is, you know, mm-hmm. giving you X, Y, Z and you are giving this person X, Y, Z. It doesn't like, I never feel like I want to like go back there or anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't stir loneliness. If anything, it does the opposite most of the time.
Right.
Because I'm like, I'm single for a reason. And if I felt like there was something that mm-hmm. wasn't right, I probably would have tried to like solve that like I would have tried to like get back together with
you would have like reached out.
So if anything, it kind of just like it's a little jarring, I would say, and it like it I immediately it takes like a little hit to the heart just because I think it's like shocking naturally. But my feeling after that is I feel like calmed almost.
Oh, I love that.
In a weird
you.
Way.
Oh.
But you know what? On the opposite end of calmed, you know what doesn't make me feel calmed what? About loneliness? Realizing as queer people that if you don't have kids and you're not in a relationship, you'll like die alone.
Yeah.
Or you have enough money that you're like in some sort of like bougie care home that they're like spoon feeding you like split pea soup.
Yeah.
You know what else I thought about? This what? Well, we can circle back to that whole thing. But you know what else I thought about? If I'm old, right?
Yeah.
Like my grandma passed away this year and she was very elderly. And am I still going to be caring about like being vegan when I'm like that old?
Oh, Jesus.
Because I was like
the biggest pain in the ass at the fucking
care
home.
I know, because I was like, you're in this care home and they're giving you Jell-O, but Jell-O's not vegan.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I was.
I don't think you care at that point.
I was asking the question.
Do you think you care at that point?
I don't
point?
Know. That's why I'm asking.
I don't know. I think if Jell-O's like the only thing you can stomach, you're eating Jell-O.
That's true. But yeah, that is a weird thing to think about. I feel like with along with people getting married.
Yeah.
Straight people for sure are in... Your sister are in baby zone.
Yes.
We're in the age that it's baby zone.
Yeah.
Cousins of mine, everybody's having babies. But now we're also at the time that queer people, you and just like other people are genuinely talking about like, I should think about freezing my eggs. I should think about like all these things.
Yeah.
That is wild. Cause that just, that like forces my thoughts about loneliness to think like, like 60 years from now, which is like terrifying.
You're spiraling.
Oh yeah.
No, I totally get that because I think there was a, there's a time frame in queer spaces where you kind of feel like time slows down and it's like safe and comfy because even though all your old high school friends that are straight are getting married and knocking out babies, it's like, yeah, but that's just what the straights are doing. But then when it gets to the point that all your peers that are gay are like getting married and potentially having babies, it feels like, oh, this is real because this is like not just what they thought they were supposed to do.
Now it's a choice.
This is like what they actually wanted to do. Like they weren't just like, okay, finish college, next step, I'm supposed to do this. They're like, they've really thoroughly thought about this. And we're at the point where people are literally, I have multiple friends that are divorced.
Yeah.
And like, re-on and in their next relationship. Like, that's a crazy milestone.
Divorce, you know,
to think about. Yeah, for them it is. Fuck. This must suck. It
didn't seem that crazy.
But. Yeah. But I... You saying that made me think of something. As a queer person, I don't know if you can relate to this. Maybe some folks listening can. Often, when I'm feeling the most lonely...
Mm-hmm.
is not for a lack of being surrounded by people, but being in a space where I feel like I am toning down my personality or not truly being myself because of my queerness.
Yep.
Or because I feel like as I get older as a queer person and as I'm surrounded by more queer people, I have less to connect with people living more heteronormative lives on.
By choice, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's kind of like that weird realization where you're having like a dinner table conversation and you're just like, oh, we're not on the same Twitter.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, we're just not on the... Like you bring up someone that like if you brought it up in any queer space, like I don't know, a public figure or something like that, they'd be like, ew, disgusting. Yeah. Hate that person. They suck, whatever. And you bring them up and they're like, right, aren't they the smartest or something? And you're like, what? What the fuck? And it's just this weird moment of like kind of feeling like really disconnected.
Yeah.
And I feel like as I get older and maybe more... radical about my beliefs or like
radically gay.
Yeah. Well, knowing my beliefs are like really important. I think when you're younger, especially for millennials, I will say like our fucking generation really shit the bed on this, thinking it's not important to vote and not important to have an opinion in politics and being like, we're just not political people.
Yeah.
Like Gen Zers fucking showed up at the polls. Okay.
They sure did.
Millennials notoriously shit the bed on that. And I think it's because our generation was just like, when we were growing up, it wasn't like super bad or polarizing either way. And we also didn't have social media to like show us a lot of like news and stuff constantly.
True.
So we were just like ignorance is bliss, did not know what was fucking going on. And in turn, we were like, things seem all right for me. We don't need to vote. And we just didn't.
Yeah.
And there was this whole like thought process of like, I'm just not a political person. And I think as I've gotten older, I'm more aware that that's just something that I viscerally disagree with saying. Like, I think it's very privileged and out of touch to get to not be a political person or get to not care about different topics or want to just keep things light. And I think I have less patience for toning those things back about myself.
Fair.
So when I'm in spaces where that's happening, like, you know, family dinners, talking to extended relatives, or even just like honestly running into like old friends from school, that I'm like, I become very aware very quickly that what we used to connect on almost isn't there anymore.
Fair.
And I recently went to like a move-in party for a friend that like a... What is it called?
Housewarming.
Thank you.
So we all moved their stuff.
Just moved. Yeah, no. I went to a housewarming party for someone and it was all people that like for so many years I felt so connected with and still consider friends. And I was there and I was just listening to the conversation and I was like, I just feel like I don't have things to contribute in this space. Like I feel like we are just on completely different planets.
Yeah.
Not that they were even saying anything, like, it's not like they were saying polarizing political views the other way, but just
Trump
like
2024.
No, but like they're, you know, I think they would agree with me on most political issues, but just like even the shows they watch and what they think's important and where they're at in their life and stuff. And it just, I remember feeling like very lonely. Like I was just kind of like awkwardly laughing along and like, I don't know how to get in on this conversation.
I also weirdly think that a lot of that is because of the pandemic though, too, because it's like we had to choose our bubbles and move forward, and then it's now we're reconvening after like 3 years of not seeing each other, and it's like, oh, we forged very different paths in that time.
That's a very fair point. That's very true, because it's like certain people stayed connected,
and it's like any small divide that you had before, you just like kept going in that direction
the other way,
and then you come back and you're like, oh, we have not been doing the same thing for the past 2 years.
That is very true.
Honestly, big
and
brain.
I also feel like when you're in those spaces and you can't share things that you think are like very true to you or like joyful to you, whether it's like a gay joke or whatever,
a good gay joke,
you know, just a fucking good dyke joke, you know, let me live over here. It does feel kind of like isolating.
One of my things for feeling isolating with loneliness specifically is being single and, trying to like navigate the discussions of being single with like family that's straight.
Right.
Because there's so many layers to like, I know that if my sister was straight and she was talking about like going on dates with like my mom and dad or like some other people, it's like, there's only like a few conversations or directions that that can go.
Yes.
But I feel like queer dating is so like nuanced and like layered
dynamic
and confusing that I feel myself, like my mom will ask, you know, how's dating? And not to say that she's doing this in a malicious way, but I'm like, I think she's asking to be kind, but like she doesn't really care because she doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily care to tell her because I don't feel like describing all the layers to it.
See, that is what I think I was trying to put my finger on when I was rambling earlier. I find myself constantly around straight people, whether it's family members or friends or whatever it is. Constantly they go, what's new? And I go, not much.
Not much.
Even though there's tons.
Okay, well, apply that logic, because I think we both did a circle and then met in the middle. Apply that logic to like somebody asking like, how's dating going?
And you're like,
and you're like, how do I get into this? You just go good. And I think somebody, you just saying good and like knowing that it's not, or knowing that it's like more layered, that is like such a lonely feeling, like right that there,
yeah,
you know,
because you're like good, but
good, you're like, oh, it's so much more good than that, but
yeah,
we're like bad, but I don't want to get in, you know,
yeah, it's just, yeah,
because it's like you feel like not only are you lonely in the situation, mm-hmm. but then you feel isolated because like they won't understand or they won't, you know.
I totally, yeah, empathize with that. I think that being a single person, especially when it doesn't line up with when your other friends are single or everyone's like vibing in that route, yeah. is like one of the most isolating feelings.
Totally.
Especially in current day, and I'm gonna fucking sound like the grandma of all grandmas, but we already know I'm an old witch, so whatever. Where it's just like, it's so, even the dating part of it is disconnected, like the apps and everything. It's so disconnected in general.
Feels like inhuman a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That I feel, I don't know. I know myself and I think I would do terribly at it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've joked on this podcast, half joked, it's mostly true, about how terrible I am trying to even make a fucking friend.
True.
Like,
that wasn't a joke.
That's what I'm saying. Still trying out here. I've ever been. Still fucking trying out here. Oh my god, I have an update with that.
Oh no.
Can I give you an update? I've decided that they are not my friend.
Could have told you that.
I know, but my delusion has cleared. It takes a while for my delusion
it to does, clear. Yeah.
And to say to myself,
usually the antibiotics, like, clear that up in a few weeks.
To say to myself, hold on a second, you have now reached out or asked them to hang out or followed up with messages or been the person to instigate conversation 97 times.
Yeah.
And maybe you should have stopped on like the 92nd, you know?
But you stopped. So,
and yeah, and I thought to myself, you know what I'm gonna do? This is actually sad. This is sad. I thought to myself, yeah, it did actually kind of. I think it was too much of a realization. I knew it was true already, but I didn't want it to be true. I said to myself, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna not reach out
and see,
and then I will be able to, because my delusion is I talk a lot and I reach out a lot because I'm always like, let's go for it. Like, let's make it happen. Like, I mean, fuck, the reason we have a podcast is because when we met, I was like, let's do a podcast together.
And I was like, what's your name?
Literally, you're like, it's security, please get this woman away from me. I feel like I have always been that person. So in turn, it's hard for me to decipher. I'm so socially not normal. It's as I get older, it's baffling to me how I've gotten this far. It's hard for me to genuinely decipher, and this is actually like me being vulnerable here, like jokes aside.
Okay.
It's hard for me to actually pick up on cues and decipher when the reason that they are not seeming as engaged is because I'm already doing all the engaging. So why would they have to also put in the work?
Yeah.
Like basically I'm already taking up all the air and I'm already making things happen. So they're just along for the ride. And that does happen for me often.
Right.
Because I'm a very like go person. Or if they are just not wanting to be on the ride. And I actually I don't know the difference.
Yeah.
I literally don't.
Well, at least you have acknowledged that now.
Yeah. So
the first step is acceptance.
I think like that's my new tool of like just being like, I have clearly given enough and engaged enough that I've shown that I am interested in forming a friendship or a relationship. Yes. If I now give it the air, will they fill that space? Like, will they meet me halfway?
Do you know what I think it is for you?
What?
I think that you are a psycho.
I was waiting for it.
I think that you are bad at not letting things be like a finite solution. I think that right. you are bad at saying like, maybe this person will just be like a positive acquaintance. Like, I think you view something yeah. as like, we need to be friends, or like, we need to right. not be friends. Whereas like,
that's true.
You feel like you need to push it into like full friendship, or it's like mm-hmm. nothing almost.
Like even at the beginning of this conversation, when I said, I've decided we're not friends anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
That's a very, that's a very true statement, because that's like, again, I don't think I know, like, so, I don't know how to navigate like social norms yeah. in the sense that like I've always been that way. I'm either like all in with someone, I'm so loyal to them, I'm like
yeah
fully like have their back, I feel like they're meeting me in the same way, or I'm like, oh, they don't want to be friends with me.
Yeah,
I don't know levels of engagement.
Yes,
clearly.
Yes.
I mean, it was the same we've talked about on this podcast when I was dating. Like, I would go on first dates, chill, fine, cool, whatever. But if I like you, holy fuck.
Exactly.
Like, this better rev up to 100.
You're doing the same thing, but with friends.
But with friends.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that these people could just be a positive acquaintance.
I'm saying these people probably still really enjoy you, but maybe their friend circle is full, or maybe they have something, but they obviously, they're responding. They've interacted yeah. with you,
yeah.
but they don't feel the need to push it to best friendship, hanging out and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They're okay leaving it as like, oh, I see this person out and I like them.
See, but that's so sad to me. They don't even want to paint pumpkins.
No, but very few people do.
Well, on that note,
yeah,
this has been really something
eye-opening for you, maybe.
It's, yeah. it's been like a therapy session.
Yeah, I will be charging you for this one.
Invoice me. Yeah. That's fair. Wherever you're listening, make sure to follow, subscribe, make sure to head over to our Instagram at Giggling Podcast and join the Patreon if you want video. You can follow Sean at Sean.Lusk and myself at Brianne Williamson. Click the link in my bio to help me fund my fucking film, please. God, there's so many great rewards there. And literally, if you don't want any of the rewards and you just have a dollar, that would be so sick. And that's about it. Five stars only. And until next time, we will
see you around the neighborhood.